This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side of the five. Michael Turner just got it.
Who to start, who to sit, who's a sleeper, and who's a bust. A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, looks, fires over the middle, caught, West Rutt, touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's complete, and he's got it. It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald.
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek. Guru Brian Lowe.
Happy Thanksgiving and welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown week number 12. Coming to you on a Wednesday this time. You know, shaking things up a little bit with the holiday week being here. And we always want to hear from you whether we come on a Wednesday or a Thursday, Thanksgiving, week 12, week 10, week 11, whatever it might be. We want to hear from you at webradio@patriots.com. My name is Brian Lowe here for the Fantasy Lowdown. We come your way every single week. Now, we're going to change things up just a bit today. We've got some emails already in. We're not coming to you live, recording a little bit earlier in the day, so my apologies right up front if you are emailing us and we don't get to you. It's just the way it goes. Unfortunately, I had to shake things up a little bit with Thursday being a holiday.
I apologize 1,000 times.
I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to apologize that many times, but trust me, Jason, I will apologize a few times during the show. Now, Jason, I'm not apologizing to you. I beat you. This week, our big matchup, huge matchup, a middle-of-the-pack team like me against the bottom feeder that you are. And basically, I did beat you fairly handily, 94-70. The key
and
all that.
Are you gloating? Are you really gloating against a team that's 2-9?
Passing along information to the listeners who are demanding.
I think you're gloating.
Well, listen.
You're showboating.
Here's the thing. Maybe it's more of a sense of relief. What embarrassment this would have been if I had lost you. So I think it's a sense of gloating, a small sense of gloating, but more a result of relief. I mean, I was extremely relieved to have escaped this week. Now, you had the lowest score among any teams in our league this week. Well, that's unusual for you, right? It does happen. Unfortunately for you, it happens virtually every week. So you're 2-9. I'm 6-4-1. I had some pretty big performances across the board. Nothing huge, but really, you know, between Andre Johnson, D'Angelo Williams, LeSean McCoy, some of my primo guys, and then Robert Meacham, who's a guy I picked up a couple weeks ago just thinking, you know, it's a New Orleans offense. On any given week, any of those guys, from the Devery Hendersons to the Robert Meachams, even David Thomas, any of those guys are going to score some points. He gets me 2 touchdowns, which was big. Bernard Scott, I picked up early in the week, got me 14 points. Now, I talk about this every week, my Matt Hasselbeck, Matt Ryan dilemma. I made the mistake this week. I did go with Matt Hasselbeck instead of Matt Ryan. And, you know, fortunately it didn't cost me, but Matt Ryan did have 21 points for me. Now, you had a pair of goose eggs, Roy Williams and Steve Breston. Got a pretty good performance from Tom Brady. No surprise there, as well as Vernon Davis. But beat you fairly handily, and now I find myself at 6-4-1. Just below the glut of teams 1 through 4, 7-3-1 and 3-7-4. So, you know, it's getting pretty interesting there with just a couple weeks of the regular season to go.
I have to say this was probably one of the worst weeks Steve Breston has had for me all season. He had been the little glimmer of light every once in a while, and this week he under-delivered. And I felt good about the matchup at St. Louis, and it just didn't work out that way.
Well, it turned out, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin both had huge games. They each had, I think, 8 catches. They each had a touchdown. So, you know, when both of those guys are playing at their high level, it's hard to have a third guy do that. But, hey, you know, you get a couple of goose eggs. That's right. You know, Tom Brady, I mean, I was certainly worried about Brady. In this match, Brady, I certainly thought Brady, if at all, if you were going to win at all, it would have been a monstrous performance from Brady.
And he under-delivered. He was projected at 20, and he only had 18. You got to exceed the numbers.
You might want to go talk to him about that. You might
I think
want
I
to
might.
Go talk.
I'll go stop by his locker
you
today.
You might want to. So we've got quite a logjam there at the top. There's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams with 6 or 7 wins. In our league. So really going to be crazy. Okay, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. There are 3 games going on. Green Bay at Detroit, Oakland at Dallas, Giants at Denver. Really some interesting storylines going on with those teams that are playing. Detroit, I mean, where's Matthew Stafford at? Calvin Johnson, did that team, I mean, hey, Cleveland-Detroit game the other day, 38-37, just an offensive explosion. I don't buy it. I don't think either team is going to be able to ever have the kind of game that they had. Matthew Stafford with 5 touchdowns. So What's probably going to happen this week is some of the Detroit guys, some of the Cleveland guys might be a little overrated. I don't see it. I think Detroit's going to be shut down by Green Bay this week, whether Stafford plays or not. I don't really feel confident about any of those players. Green Bay, on the other hand, I think they're going to be able to score some points, run the ball well, and Aaron Rodgers have a big one. Oakland to Dallas. I think this is the week that Dallas's offense wakes up. Now, the key is Jason Witten's a game-time decision, so there's some worry there. But I really do think Oakland's going to be able to get the job done. Dallas is going to get the job done. Oakland coming off their big win against Cincinnati, short week, traveling, certainly going to be a letdown week for them. And then the Giants, Denver, I see a low-scoring affair. Don't really like too many of the offensive players in that game. Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com radio, web radio at Patriots.com. We're going to hit the inbox pretty early in the show today. As I said, we're going to have a few of the other characters, I'll put it, from around this building, people you may or may not know. One for sure that you know is expected to join us in a little bit, a little later in the show, and just get some different fantasy perspectives.
Cherry
pie? So, there you go. You're letting the secret out a little bit, huh?
If she asks, you never heard that clip.
It's a secret with me. Don't you worry. Anyways, we do have some emails that we're going to get to. We encourage emails. We encourage emails at all times. Let's get to it right away. Joshua from California. Hey, Brian, thanks for helping me get a win last week. Always like to hear that, Jason. You know, too often, I mean, it's kind of a mix this year. You screwed me. Thanks for helping me get a win, but this is good.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
That we know. Thanks for helping me get a win last week. My record is now 7-4. I have two questions for you. He actually has three. I did read this email in advance. First of all, I made some transactions. I dropped John Carlson and picked up JerMichael Finley. What do you think? All right, with that one, I think you made a good move. I think ultimately, you know, those two players are sort of in the same category, but pretty clearly JerMichael Finley has the up arrow next to his name, John Carlson the down arrow. Finley very much involved in that Green Bay offense, and particularly this week, I like him a lot. John Carlson, you know, hey, listen, I've been on the Matt Hasselbeck bandwagon all season long, but really starting to have to think otherwise on that one. Carlson's been a bit of a disappointment, but I like Finley. And now Joshua says, now to my questions. What was that first one? What do you think? That was a question. On to my questions. First, I need a defense. Choose from either the Dolphins, Chargers, or Colts. Okay, as long as you're talking about this week, no-brainer for me. It's Miami's defense at Buffalo. Buffalo's offense. There you go. Oh, well, they both have good songs. Miami, San Diego, they both...
I like San Diego's better.
They both have worthwhile songs to play on this play right here, and you can blow up either one of them, as you did. But Miami at Buffalo, the Buffalo offense is just abysmal. Ryan Fitzpatrick in there now. Whether it's Trent Edwards or Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're not getting much going. I mean, T.O. had a 97 or whatever yard touchdown last week, but that was, you know, more fluky. That has been out of the outside the norm. So I go Miami in that case. Now, San Diego hosting Kansas City. You know, Kansas City scares me a bit. They're obviously flying high right now, two-game win streak beating Pittsburgh. But I would say this, you know, I'd be cautious about them. I think better of them than Detroit and Cleveland. I think Castle might have a little bit going. So San Diego wouldn't be a bad play, but I would not think about the Colts this week. I think they're prime for the picking, playing Houston, and Houston's got a good offense. So, Jeremy, I'm going Miami in that case with San Diego just behind. Second, I have Robert Meacham. Will he have any fantasy value this week against the Patriots? Thanks for the help. Absolutely, Robert Meacham has fantasy value. Now, I just mentioned him. I have him on my team. I look at that New Orleans offense as they're going to score points. They're going to get touchdowns virtually every week. It's just sometimes a bit of a guessing game on who's going to get those plays, who's going to get the touchdowns. Colston, Henderson, Meacham, Shockey, David Thomas, the former Patriot, Pierre Thomas, Mike Bell, Drew Brees himself. You don't know which direction they're going to go in. Now, on the one hand, Meacham had two touchdowns last week. You wonder, you know, law of averages, is he going to do that again? But I'd play any of the New Orleans offensive players. And that's not a ton of disrespect to the Patriots. I just think New Orleans offense is that good, very explosive. And I think kind of like with the Patriots and Colts last week, it's going to be similar. It's going to be similar this week. So I'd go with Meacham. I think he'd be a good play this week. You can't guarantee anything. You really can't guarantee anything. Even Marcus Colston on that offense. But I still think he's a pretty good play right there, Robert Meacham. Joshua, thank you very much for your email, as always. Next up is Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. B-Low, got a few questions for you. Here's my roster. I'll roll by a QB, Tony Romo, against Oakland. Like him a lot this week. Really do. I know that Dallas offense has been sputtering big time, but I like Romo. Wide receivers, Larry Fitzgerald against Tennessee, no-brainer, and Donnie Avery against Seattle. Good play, but, you know, he's a good receiver, but, you know, Mark Bulger's out. What Kyle Bowler is going to be throwing the ball to him. We got to see who else you got here. Running backs, Chris Johnson versus Arizona, obviously. And then you got Joseph Addai. You think I should play Mendenhall? The Steelers are playing the Ravens. I'm unsure of playing Addai versus Mendenhall. I'm going Addai with this one. Mendenhall just sliding down the rankings a little bit. Don't like him as much as Addai this week. So I'd stick with Chris Johnson, Addai. Feel pretty good about yourself there. Tight end Vernon Davis, just a touchdown machine against Jacksonville this week. No doubt you want to go there. Now, your wide receiver tight end flex, JerMichael Finley versus Detroit. Drop Jason Witten, tough choice, but I feel Dallas is spreading the ball out so much he's not in the red zone target that he used to be, and Finley has more upside. At worst, it would be an equal draw. I can play Mike Wallace, but playing Baltimore, I'm stoked on that. All right, I like that. Jason Witten, game-time decision this week. He's been a disappointment. JerMichael Finley, arrow going up, as I said earlier, against Detroit. Love it for this week. Your kicker, Ryan Longwell, absolutely. Defense, Seahawks against St. Louis, absolutely. So your bench, you've got Flacco, you're sitting for Romo, like it. Mendenhall, you're sitting, like it. Mike Wallace, I don't know. I'd consider him over Donnie Avery, believe it or not. Jamal Charles and the 49ers and Cardinals defenses. Todd says, after this weekend, I plan to drop the Seahawks defense and roll with San Francisco and Arizona. Playoff weeks 15 and 16, they have perfect matchups versus Detroit and St. Louis each, I think. Who do you like as a wide receiver to pick up? My options are Andre Caldwell, Devon Bess, Earl Bennett, Malcolm Floyd, and Michael Jenkins on waivers. Any thoughts on that? Any players on my team you think I should 86? All right, like Devon Bess a little bit. Andre Caldwell, not a bad option. You know, Chris Henry's out, and I know Lavernius Coles has certainly taken a bit of that. Andre Caldwell with that huge fumble last week. You wonder if that gets in his psyche at all. Like Devon Bess this week for Miami and going forward. Not huge on Earl Bennett. Was very high on Malcolm Floyd earlier in the season when they cut Chris Chambers. He hasn't really panned out, but I would not rule him out because who he's got throwing the ball to him and the fact that he's really their number two option. And then Michael Jenkins. So I would go in this order. Devon Bess, then Malcolm Floyd, then Michael Jenkins, if you're looking to pick someone up on waivers. As far as who you should ditch on your team, you know, it really obviously depends on who you have available. I think you got a pretty solid team there, like you're thinking on the defense, because Seattle's defense doesn't really excite me other than this week. You know, Romo, Flacco, you know, you could do better, but I think those are, you know, two pretty good options. You can mix and match there. Chris Johnson, Joseph Addai, Rashard Mendenhall, you should have two out of the three having good matchups each week. And then, you know, you could use a little bit of depth at wide receiver. Certainly, I'd consider maybe dumping Jamal Charles if just because of the depth you have there at running back. And I haven't been too satisfied with Jamal Charles. Hard to consider benching him, but I think you could use some depth at wide receiver, especially that wide receiver tight end flex spot, Todd. So there you go. Appreciate the email. Webradio@patriots.com. Again, we're not coming to you live, but feel free to email us. We'll definitely get to you next week. Send us your emails at any time during the week here on the Fantasy Lowdown. We've got some guests coming our way, some in-studio guests. Not often we have that. You're going to enjoy some of the characters we got coming in. We'll be right back after this on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Hey! Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football, bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game, 5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown. Thanksgiving week, a little bit of a jumbled schedule, so we're coming to you on a Wednesday instead of a Thursday, getting you ready for the Thanksgiving games, then a full slate on Sunday, and of course, much like 2 weeks ago, a fantasy football bonanza on Monday night, Patriots and Saints. Really, anybody on either one of those teams who is at all in position to catch the ball or run the ball, I want you to start and use in your fantasy teams this week. Webradio at Patriots.com, you can email us. And changing things up a bit, we've had some great guests over the course of this season here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
And now we haven't.
But all of those guests that we've had in the past and guests that we're going to have in the future will pale in comparison to the trio that we're expected to have in over the next 45 minutes, starting with really one of the class acts of this building. Figured there had to be a drop-in right there, Jason.
You lying your ass off.
There you go. That's the one. A true class act. He dresses well every day, especially on work days.
You lying your ass off.
His name is Chris, and he works up in the marketing department. Chris, real briefly, tell us who you are, what you do, and why we should never listen to anything you say.
Well, Bilo, it's an honor. It's a privilege to be in your prestigious show.
Good way to start.
We have a million listeners. We're syndicated across the country.
You know, we're at 999,999.
Right, so close. So I should hope
your parents are listening today, right?
Maybe.
Okay,
not.
That
They'll
should put us at
the
a
podcast.
Tell them who you are. They weren't aware.
Fair enough.
Working marketing. Happy to be here. My fifth season. So work with sponsors, you know.
Your fifth season. So the first season you were here was what, 05?
05, correct.
Not a coincidence, right? They won in 01, 03, and 04. You approach in 05.
I was an intern in 04.
Oh, really? Did you get paid?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So clearly the line of demarcation as far as the Patriots quote-unquote dynasty, it's really all about you. There's the pre-Chris and the post-Chris. Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't won since.
Nope, and the Revs have lost 3 MLS Cups since I've been here.
Yeah, sounds about
right. 3-2.
Sounds about right. Tell us about your fantasy team, Chris. That's really why we have you here. I know you got quite a league as far as you know 14 team league approaching the playoffs. I know you're right in the thick of it. Tell us a little bit about your team and some of the decisions you've had to make this year.
Okay, well, big day today.
Huge day.
Trade deadline.
Huge day.
Trade out. Pretender, contender. I'm not sure what.
That's great because we definitely tell us a little bit about your team, and then I want to know what you got any trades in the mix.
Right,
I know you don't work a lot. I know you don't have a busy day here
because
none of them are for you, so you should have enough time to.
I focus this probably about 40, 50 hours a week.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Usually during the office time.
Right. So. 9 to 5. Yeah.
So 14 teams. There's 3 divisions. I'm currently 6-5 with 2 weeks left in the regular season. We start one quarterback, we start 2 running backs, 2 wideouts, a tight end, 1 offensive position, obviously a defense, and a kicker. And it's a keeper league, so we kept up to 7 guys from last season.
Right, and now with all due respect to the fact that obviously it's a deep league, 14 teams, a lot on the roster, with all due respect to that, I took a look at your team, wow, your quarterbacks stink.
They do.
Wow.
They do. I'm not a huge fan of quarterbacks in fantasy.
Oh, who would be? I mean, why would you be? It's not like they can do anything for it. No, why
well,
would you be a fan of quarterback?
Can. They can.
I mean, who would be a fan of a quarterback? I mean, I don't. Yeah, I don't. Overrated, right? Hey, who needs running backs and wide receivers too?
Everyone sucks, but me.
I have good wide receivers.
You do. Okay. All joking aside.
I've had a couple of years haven't helped me. I haven't set myself up well. I decided last year I was only going to keep three guys out of seven and just start over. Made a bunch of trades. Terrell Owens in the offseason.
Like Marquise, the move. Who'd you get for Terrell Owens?
First round pick.
It's big.
Traded Marquise Colston for a first round pick. This year already, I kept Larry Fitzgerald and I kept Anquan Boldin. And I kept Chris Cooley. Those were my three cornerstones
of
the team.
Your wide receivers, those are good moves. Thought Terrell Owens would be a bust this year. I thought highly of Colston, but as it turns out, he's average this year because they have so many weapons. And Fitzgerald and Boldin, can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. You can only start two guys. So I went out and I decided I'm going to start young. I'm going to start young, start over. I went out with my three first-round picks. I took I had Jason Campbell on my team last year. I was really impressed by the way he played in the New England preseason game, and I went ahead and I took him again, figuring I do need another quarterback. But I went out and I took Knowshon Moreno, and I went out and took Mark Sanchez in that first round as well. So I'm looking young. I rounded out. If we want to go through my roster here, I have Campbell at quarterback. I have Knowshon Moreno at running back. I have Jason Snelling right now at running back. Mm-hmm. My main running back is Beanie Wells, but Snelling's got projected to put up 22 points this week.
He's a good pickup. I mean, we know what happened with Turner. They like to run the, good pickup.
Yeah, I picked him up last week. Yeah, obviously I have Larry Fitzgerald, the cornerstone of my team. As I said, I traded Anquan Boldin. I was able to trade him because I drafted Percy Harvin this past offseason. He's obviously been really good for us. Chris Cooley, injured right now. I had Fred Davis on the team, not doing anything. I did happen to hear you talking about Jermichael Finley, who I have right now on the waiver wire trying to pick up. He's hopefully a guy I can drop Davis and pick him up for.
Well, he'd be a great... Well, Cooley, I'm pretty sure, is going to end up on IR. He's been out for 4 weeks now, so he's been unusable. Yeah. He had an okay first half of the year, but tight end is a really deep position this year. It's pretty deep. I mean, you got Tony Gonzalez, Vernon Davis, who have had big years. A lot of guys in that middle tier. You can kind of mix and match. Jermichael Finley, doing well. Detroit this week. If you can get him by tomorrow.
I hope.
That's big. Okay, you mentioned the trade deadline. You got anything in the mix? I love hearing, what are some trades people are thinking about?
You know what? I think I'm going to make the playoffs. The team I'm playing this week is 0-11. The guy forgot his password, has not checked his team. He doesn't do anything. Okay?
Oh, that's disappointing. So, you hate to have that.
So I hope you get the win.
But then again, is it better to be 0-11 and, you just completely aren't even paying attention or be like, 2-9 and really are paying attention?
I think... Well,
that was a shot of Jason.
We're going with it. My offensive position.
I'm not the greatest guy in the world.
My offensive position player is Kyle Orton. Put up some good numbers early. Not great, but he's okay. He's serviceable.
You could probably cut him now, though.
I have the Vikings defense, and very I have good. Ryan Longwell at kicker. Again, my bench: Beanie Wells, Hakeem Nicks, Mark Sanchez. I had Chris Sims. Hate to say, I had Chris Sims last week.
Well, here's the thing. Good. I will say this: in a 14-team league. You have a decent team. With quarterbacks, I know you don't like quarterbacks. In a 14-team league especially, really in almost any league, where you want to have more than one quarterback, if a player is actually starting for his NFL team, I mean, unless he's Jamarcus Russell, and I'm being dead serious, he's worth picking up.
Yeah.
He's worth picking up. Now, Chris Sims, I think you could probably, it seems like Orton's going to be playing. I'm not sure what the latest is on that for tomorrow night, but Chris Sims has looked terrible. But it's one of those, if you have the room on your team, Denver's offense is probably good enough that depending on the matchup, whoever is starting for them at quarterback might not be a bad pick. Again, depending on the matchup, but that's what happens when you have a deep league like that. So,
and I'm trying to drop Sims and pick up Rock Cartwright.
What
do you think? That's a big question I have for you. He could help me this week. I don't know if I put him over Moreno. Moreno's projected to get 10 points.
I wouldn't put him over Moreno.
Okay.
I would not put him over Moreno. He's a guy worth picking up. Liddell Betts, done for the year. Clinton Portis, iffy. But he's iffy enough that whoever the backup is there, and obviously you're big on the Redskins. I mean, Jason Campbell, Fred Davis, a little short-sighted there, Chris. But but I will say this. Fred Davis was a worthwhile pickup a couple weeks ago when Chris Cooley got hurt. Mm-hmm. I think Fred Davis, I think Jason Campbell, he's had, I think, better success throwing the tight ends in general. So Fred Davis worth picking up. And again, kind of like what I said with quarterbacks, with running backs, there are enough injuries over the course of a year, and really every week you get two or three. Like last week was ridiculous. Michael Turner goes down, Jason Snelling, hot pickup. Cedric Benson goes down, Bernard Scott, good pickup. Well, with Ronnie Brown, it was a little different because Ricky Williams has been having such a good year. Oh, and Julius Jones and Justin Forsett comes in. He had a terrible game, but going into that week, you're like, well, you know what, Justin Forsett, I mean, he's going to be their starting running back, and running back is the kind of position where especially, I'll give you an example, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis this time of year. I think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is a solid running back, but I think if he went into last year as the Patriots' number one running back, he would not have had the success that he had when he came in the middle of the year. Offense is running well, offensive line is going well. So Jason Snelling had a big week last week.
Yep.
Bernard Scott had a big week. It's interesting with running back. So very good. So you got two more regular season weeks.
Two more. This week's I have to win this one. I will win this one. So that'll put me at 7-5. Right now I'm in control of the last playoff position, number 6. I think I should be able to pull it off. There's three other teams that are 5-6. Okay, not really well-run teams, so I can kind of look at the ownership, see what they're going to do, what their tendencies are.
Yep.
I think I'm going to continue and push forward, and I'm going to try and contend this year. My only concern, though, is that we can only keep 7 guys. So I do have to start thinking about the future. If I can only keep 7 guys, I can't afford to start trading away a couple of guys to acquire picks, trading away into guys to teams that are battling for number 1, who I won't get, 9-2 teams, 8-3 teams. So looking at my team now, the obvious people to keep for next year are Fitzgerald, Harvin. Obviously, I think I keep Mark Sanchez.
Yep.
You're going to keep Moreno, Beanie Wells. But, Hakeem Nicks, maybe someone that some teams may look at after a week at wide receiver. Kyle Orton, someone I probably will keep just because, again, he's going to start next year. And, again, to your point, starting quarterbacks will get you some points.
Yep.
So I'm on the cusp of, making sure that I'm getting rid of some guys that could be worthwhile to other people that I know I'm not going to keep for 2010.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I think a guy that if I were you, I'd consider trading in the offseason is Moreno.
Really?
And here's why. You got Moreno, you got Wells. I mean, very tempting to keep both. I think long term, I think more highly of Wells. I think with Moreno, the way Josh McDaniels runs, I think his whole career, Moreno's career, he's going to have other guys like Carell Buckhalter, like with Lawrence Maroney's had with Dylan and Sammy Morris. I think there's always going to be more than one running back there in Denver.
Okay.
I think you might have a chance to get someone to bite on Moreno. Now, I mean, he's a good player. I think he's going to have a good career, and he'll probably be a worthwhile fantasy guy. You might be able to get really good value. Maybe a quarterback. I don't know. I don't know how the trading seems to go. I think if it's tempting to have Wells and Moreno because young running back, I'd think about that. I'd think
trade
about
today?
That.
Or do
well,
I think until the end of the season? Higher now.
His value's high now. Buckhalter's been in and out. And again, your running backs, your other running backs.
Well, I have Snelling, but he's
Snelling's a short-term guy.
Right?
He's a short-term
Moreno,
guy.
Moreno, Beanie Wells, that's it.
Maybe not now. I don't think you can make that trade now.
Okay.
But if you can make that trade going forward, because here's the thing, like I was saying, you can pick up other running backs. I would maybe.
Snelling's the guy,
right?
Yeah.
And you know what? You have Wells. You've had success with Wells and Moreno. See who next year's first-round NFL draft picks are. A guy like the Alabama guy, Mark Ingram, I think you could pick up another running back. I think you might get – I mean, don't do it just for the sake of doing it.
Right.
You might be able to get some good value.
I will tell you, I did draft Rashard Mendenhall. I did drop him after he was benched by Tomlin.
Yeah.
Obviously, hindsight.
He's had some good weeks.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's your Andy Hart tip of the week. Mendenhall, that's every week.
So he would have helped my team. So
It's so hard to project. It's so hard to project. But it's some good strategy going on there. I think
I think once you make the playoffs, it's anyone's game.
So it's kind of like the NFL. 6 teams make it, first to have a bye. Then six plays 3.
Don't talk about playoffs.
We're talking playoffs.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
And you're probably talking about a road game in round 1.
Well, in fantasy, it doesn't matter.
Oh, really?
Much.
You don't
it doesn't
travel?
Matter as much. I don't travel.
Okay. Right.
But I will tell you that going back to my quarterback comments, I will tell you that I don't want Peyton Manning on my team. I don't want Drew Brees on my team because going into week 16, 17 of the NFL season, the championship games and Super Bowl fantasy, those guys aren't playing.
You don't know that, but there's
this season it's looking like that's going to be.
But here's the thing, Chris. I mean, I understand what you're saying there. If you have Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees on your team, you're going to be fine. Just think, by the time you get to week 7, 8, 9, think about that and say, okay, I might not have these guys. Look at the matchups. Look at what quarterbacks are playing well. See if there's an under-the-radar guy that you can maybe trade for early or pick up on the waiver wire. It's hard to project that far in advance,
right?
Injuries and all that. Have 3 quarterbacks on your – I mean, you can't – I know what you're saying, and it's a valid point. But I wouldn't go into a season saying, Brady, man, well, come on.
It's not. I don't have an opportunity to get them anyway because they're being kept.
Sure, of course.
Regardless,
Of course. But I'd rather have Brady or Manning and have to deal with that postseason issue, but think about it in week 9 or 10, then have Campbell and Orton and Sanchez and be dealing with 3-4 interceptions every week and be feeling like you have no chance in the postseason.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
All my guys are either on bad teams or on teams that will be fighting for the playoffs to the very end.
And you're right. That's good. It's just like, you know, a running back in the middle of the season, a running back on a team that is projected to blow out the team they're playing this week is good because you know they're going to run the ball.
Right.
I know what you're saying. You got to look at those matchups. But, you know, long term, Chris. Hey, Chris, this was huge. This was good.
Well,
But I like this because this is a complex league. A lot of thought goes into it. Round of applause for Chris from marketing.
We've been doing this for... I want to say six or 7 years.
And these are high school buddies?
High school buddies. I want to say it's been a keeper league for 4 years.
Now, do you guys all get together for the draft?
We used to. It's
tough. Hard.
We have people living out of state. We now do online. The ideal world is we all get together. We did it in the beginning when we were in college, and we all came home and did it.
Same.
But you know what?
It's hard.
It's an opportunity to you know, to harass each other and you know, make fun of everyone for injuries.
All right. Chris, good luck in your playoff push there.
Do you think I'm going to make it? What do you think?
Well, I think so because you're going to win this week, it sounds like.
But then I'm playing Kibbles and Vic, who's 9-2.
Kibbles and Vic.
That's I'm not incredible. The brightest guy in the world.
Who's 9-2? Can
you go 1-1 and make the playoffs, do you think?
If I go 1-1, where does that put me? It's 7-6. Some simple math there. It really will depend on...
He's not the brightest guy.
No.
Yeah.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
No. It will depend on everyone else. There's, like I said, there's three other teams that are 5-6. They're going to have to go, you know, 2-0 in order to tie me, and then it's all the tiebreakers and that stuff. I obviously need to go at least 1-1.
Right. Well, if you go 0-2, that's a choke. You don't deserve to go.
Well, if I lose to the 1-11 team, then I don't deserve. If I lose to the Lions here.
You're right. Interesting thought process on some of this stuff, and good banter right here. Now, the most important thing with you, Chris, is we'll see if the Patriots can reverse really what's one of the longest-going trends in the NFL. Can they win a Super Bowl with Chris Stark on staff?
We'll see.
And that's really what it's all about here. So, Chris.
My record traveling with the team, though, is actually very good.
Is that right?
It is very good.
Yeah, but the Patriots' record over the last 5 years, even
except
though they won the Super Bowl.
Except Arizona.
Well, everyone's over.
And I went to New York and Indy this year. But I did go to London. It's a long-term thing. It's not a short-term thing.
Well, the Patriots
schedule.
Are 1-4 on the road, so or 1-3 on the
one
road.
1-3 on the road.
You know, not very good.
You just
Chris,
here.
Thanks for stopping by.
So ridiculous.
Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate it.
It here on the Fantasy
I don't think
logo.
You really gave me any insight, but... We'll go from there.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll certainly have you back again. I told you to trade. I give insight. I don't guarantee it works out.
Well, I feel like I need to come back next week and for me to be able to say that you're right or wrong.
It's under consideration. If you can propel us from 1 million listeners to 1 point, set reasonable expectations, 1.1 in the next week, we'll get you back on.
1 million.
Listeners.
We'll see what we can do.
Okay, Chris.
I think I should come back for the playoffs. I'll let you know if I made it or not. Maybe I'll shoot an email. Then.
Yeah, how about an email? I mean, we don't have to have you down here.
Yeah, I know you're busy. The line. You should have seen the line out the door to get into this show.
Yeah, well,
it was one person deep.
Right.
And that was the guy just coming to change the bathroom.
We got another guy waiting. That's your cue to leave, Chris.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Hey, Chris, thank you very much. Thanks for coming down here. I know it's a busy day for you here.
It is a busy day.
You got a lot going on. You
New Orleans, you got Miami.
We do. And that's why you have the rest of the week off, right?
Well, tomorrow.
We got a big day tomorrow. Yeah. We're going to go to Home Depot. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Are you in Friday? Are you in tomorrow?
Not tomorrow, but I'll be here Friday.
You got a big radio show?
No, TV show. Patriots Today.
I'm off to watch.
There you go.
All right,
Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com. Our thanks to Chris from marketing. Some great insight. We got another guest. I think he's behind the... Is he here? All right. Well, we'll get to him in a second. We got this guy... You know, we're going to need a dictionary to understand this guy that's coming in next, but we'll do our best.
Joe Mariani coming?
Not so much. Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com radio. Be right back after this.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So, basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right. So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VCast subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Brian Lowe coming your way every single week, usually on Thursdays, but happy Thanksgiving to one and all. We're coming your way on a Wednesday, actually not live. So just keep that in mind if you're sending us emails, webradio@patriots.com. We had to pre-record today, but some great insight with some of our guests. And we always want to hear from you. Send us emails all throughout the week. We'll be back on a regular schedule next week. Now, take out your Nick to English dictionaries. We've got one of the all-time great Boston accents joining us in the studio right now, Nick, who is one of our real assets in the TV production department doing Patriots Today and all that. Nick, welcome into this radio studio. You always see the radio studio through the cameras. What do you think here in live and in person?
It's pretty nice in here. I like it. Thank you for having me on, B-Lo, and happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you very much, and you're very polite, and I appreciate that. Now, I'm trying to figure out questions where we can get your thick accent in. I'm trying, but I'm sure over 15 minutes or so it'll all come out. All right, Nick, you're a big fantasy football guy. You help me out with the fantasy lowdown every week. I know you got a couple teams. You got one team that's just absolutely dominating your league, another one you're kind of middle of the pack. Give us a quick synopsis. We'll start with your primo league here.
My primo league is a Yahoo league, and it's a head-to-head matchup league. I'm in with a bunch of my friends. Right now I'm 10-1 actually. I didn't think they would be that good, but you know, I got Chris Johnson as my running back, so he's on pace to break Eric Dickerson's NFL record.
There we go. Dickerson. Dickerson.
There's my Boston accent. I got Ray Rice. I got Jamal Charles. I have Roddy White, Wes Welker. So, and one of my sleepers on that team that I picked up was Joshua Cribbs. It is a league that return yards count, so I think Cribbs was probably the premier returner to get for this league.
Yeah, no question. If return yards count and it's not just, you know, team, you know, sometimes you got team defense / special teams. If it's individual guys, Cribbs is pretty good. Now, he got knocked out, boy, at the end of that game.
Oh, yeah.
Baltimore.
I was nervous. Boy, I was nervous. But he bounced back pretty well last week against Detroit.
So you're in playoff position here if you haven't clinched
already. I've clinched. I'm like three games ahead of the rest of the pack.
Wow.
So,
But so now you go up through week 14, week 15, and 16 are playoffs?
Week 15 starts the playoffs. So
now, are you at a point where you have looked at week 15 and 16, looked at matchups?
I haven't started to do that yet. But because I don't know what the matchup's going to be. I kind of want to know the matchup.
Well, the NFL schedule is out for those weeks.
Well, I want to see who I'm playing that week.
What?
I do. I like to see who I'm playing.
That would impact. I mean, depending on who they have, if you notice that a great team is playing a terrible defense,
well, I might take a stretch and try to throw somebody in there that might not produce as well. But if I'm going against a team that's not that good, I have no problem, you know, taking a risk and playing somebody.
Okay.
That I think could pay dividends that weekend, but
okay,
you know.
Okay, your quarterback situation again. It's Cutler, right?
Cutler
and Castle. What do you think about Cutler tomorrow night against the Giants? Cutler against the Giants. He's not in the Broncos anymore. Chicago plays. Chicago's at Minnesota. What do you think about Cutler against the number one defense in the league?
It's a tough matchup, definitely, but I'd rather start Cutler than Castle.
How about
Castle's going against San Diego's defense? So, I don't know. I really don't have that much of an option there. I think Cutler is kind of, you know, big risk, big reward type of guy.
Have you had Cutler and Castle all through the season?
I have had them the whole season.
And other than Cutler's bye week, have you started Castle much?
I have not started Castle that much. I've basically stuck with Cutler the whole way.
Right. And I mean, Castle hasn't had a great year, but I mean, you've had Cutler in some weeks. You've really avoided some losses in weeks where Cutler has had some stinkers.
Yeah, some very bad weeks, especially last week. He only got me 4 points, but that's where Chris Johnson comes in. Ray Rice has been huge for me. Steve Slayton was a little bit earlier on in the season. Last week, Jamal Charles really helped me out against Pittsburgh. I didn't think he was going to have that big of a day. Kind of one of those risks that I took starting him, and it actually ended up paying off. And in my other league, I also have Charles. I didn't start him, and because I didn't start him, I ended up losing last week.
Okay, so now your other league, you're kind of 6-5, you said?
6-5 right now.
And where have been your struggles on that team?
My struggles have been mostly with the quarterback position again.
It can't be as bad as the previous guest we had, Chris, who was Jason Campbell and Kyle Orton and Mark Sanchez.
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. I actually have, in that league, who's my quarterback in that league? I have Castle. Yeah, I don't even remember.
That's okay. It's hard to keep. Listen, I go through it myself. It's hard to be people like us with all these fantasy teams.
Well, yeah, when you have a couple fantasy
Nick,
teams.
It's hard to be a geek. All right? It's hard to be a fantasy geek. No one ever told me it was going to be easy. I knew coming in that to be a fantasy geek, it was going to be a tough gig. But we plug away. That's what we can do. That's all we can do. All right, so we got an interesting schedule with who do you have on Thanksgiving Day? We got Green Bay, Detroit. Let's go back to your first team, your playoff team here. You got Green Bay, Detroit, Oakland, Dallas, Giants, Denver. Who are some of the guys you have? You have any decisions to make tomorrow? Because this show, you know, always airs on Thursday. This week it's Wednesday. Very interesting to talk about the games that are coming up on Thanksgiving Day because you got to set your lineups. Now, for me personally, I happen to think that Dallas's offense is going to come through this week. They've been sluggish. They've been real bad. Playing Oakland, I think Oakland has peaked. You know, they have this game against Cincinnati. They win, short week, travel. I think Tony Romo is going to be able to throw the ball well this week. That's just my opinion.
I just don't see it happening that way, Bilo. I mean, Oakland has given up only 8 touchdown passes this season. Romo has 1 touchdown the last 3 weeks. I mean, if you absolutely have nobody else, yeah, obviously start them. Oakland, you know, kind of middle of the road defense. I think Oakland's problem though is their offense, not their defense.
Certainly, I think Dallas is gonna be able to run the ball a bit, which is gonna open up the passing game more. Not so much Jason Witten, but I think you get the Miles Austins and maybe even Roy Williams, Patrick Creighton, even Martellus Bennett. I think is an interesting tight end is deep. I think he's an interesting guy if Jason Witten doesn't go.
Yeah, especially if Jason Witten doesn't go. Jason Witten, I'm a guy that not a guy that I'm very high on this year. He's one of the top tight ends taken every year, and he just really hasn't produced this year. 1 touchdown. He's another guy that I is kind of in my doghouse when you look at fantasy.
You have a doghouse?
Yes. Well, yes.
Okay. That's good. Hey, you need one. Now, Detroit and Cleveland last week, they have like a Patriots-Colts-type offensive game, Patriots-Saints-type offensive game. I think what's going to happen this week is so many people are going to be overrating some of the guys on these teams.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really going to get, you know, I mean, Brady Quinn was probably a huge pickup. I mean, are you kidding me? Cleveland, they're at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's hungry. I think he's going to throw for zero touchdowns and four picks this week. Well, I think Cleveland and Detroit are just going to be abysmal the rest of the way.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I mean, Cleveland, you know, they have the good week against Detroit, but, you know, it's against Detroit. So that's why one of my starts for this week, one of my definite starts, is Carson Palmer. He, you know, take away his five touchdown game against the Bears, and he's not having that great of a season. Nine touchdowns, seven picks, excluding that game against the Bears. But when Matthew Stafford goes out and throws five touchdowns against Cleveland, you really have to think that Carson Palmer, a pretty well-established quarterback in the league, is going to be able to put up some pretty good numbers against Cleveland's defense.
I'll tell you what, there's some really interesting offenses out there as far as it's hard to they're good offenses. It's hard to tell where the ball's going to go in any given week. New Orleans is one of them. Talked about it early on. You know, you got these guys like Colson and Meacham and Henderson and Shockey and now David Thomas. And, you know, you can really make the case you could start any one of them on a given week. I think Philadelphia is another similar one where you've got there isn't one standout guy among their offense, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin. Now Jason Avant is a hot name, Brent Celek, and then their running backs as well, obviously LeSean McCoy. And, you know, I'm wondering if, you know, maybe some of your thoughts on, do you look at these guys, these Eagles guys, Saints, those are two that come to mind right now, and you figure, you know what, you start them because you just never, it could be their week, or you sit them because there's just too many other options.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the problem. I think this week, Jeremy Shockey, you definitely sit. Based off what the Patriots have done against pretty good pass-catching tight ends this year, I would stay away from Shockey to stay away from anybody on that New Orleans offense this week. That's the one guy I would say to kind of be wary about. Also, I think you sit Donovan McNabb. He's going up against the number one pass defense in the NFL right now. His first game against Washington, 156 yards passing and one touchdown. If you have a better option at a QB, I'd say start that other option. Sit McNabb for this one week.
I'll tell you what, it's a good point. And really, one of the big surprises when you look at just the stats is how good Washington's pass defense has
been. It is amazing.
And their overall defense, you would never think it. I mean, you really wouldn't, but it's good that you bring that up.
Yeah, I was shocked.
You were shocked. And they, like you said, they're at Philadelphia. As always, you know, there's quarterback question marks this week, injuries and all that. You got Pittsburgh. It looks like Ben Roethlisberger is going to play. Who knows how well he's going to be. Detroit, Matthew Stafford. Saw what happened to him. Is Dante Culpepper in there? With some of these, it just simply doesn't matter. I mean, I think the Detroit quarterback this week, whoever it is, forget it. No good. I think the Denver quarterback this week, honestly, against the Giants tomorrow night, I don't even think it matters. I don't think they're going to do much against the Giants.
I really don't think it matters either. That's another one of those
St. Louis.
Those QBs that I was kind of wary about is you know, it doesn't matter if it's Cutler, if it's Orton or Sims. I think Denver's offense, they started real well this year, 6-0 start. Since Orton went down, not doing so well. So, I mean, I like the Giants' defense in that matchup.
Yeah, St. Louis, Bulger, Bowler. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, either way. Giants' defense is second-rated in the entire league. I thought they were going to really handle Atlanta last week. I really thought Atlanta's offense was going to be shut down. Now, the Giants won. It took overtime, and Atlanta had a pretty good week. But definitely, I think the Giants, tomorrow night against Denver, I think they're going to really shut down Denver.
I definitely would agree. I think they're going to kind of based off what Denver's been doing offensively lately, that they're going to stack eight guys in the box, make sure that Denver goes out and has to pass the ball because Orton's been injured lately, make Orton beat them. The offense really isn't in that good of a rhythm, so I'd stay away from just about anybody from that Denver offense this week, especially no Sean Moreno. You were talking about him earlier,
yep.
Kind of a guy that you might think about trading in the offseason if you have those keeper leagues.
Well, and my point on that was I don't think no Sean Moreno is going to be a bad NFL player. I think he's going to be a very good NFL player. He's having a pretty good year. But I think with the Josh McDaniels offense, sort of like what he came from here in New England, I think every year that No'Shawn Moreno's there in Denver with Josh McDaniels, there are going to be other running back options. He's never going to be the 20-24 carry guy, a game guy. And so I think that diminishes his value. Now, if he has a good stretch here down the stretch of the season, I think he's a good trade high option if you're in a keeper league offseason. I don't know if I'd trade him right now if you're short on depth, but that was sort of my point there. Now, talking about running backs, we always check out rotoworld.com, and they have some great stuff every week, rankings and all that. And in their waiver wired column for this week, some interesting names at running back. Rock Cartwright, who we mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. because Liddell Betts is out for the year. Portis is out for this week at least, and maybe for the whole year. So Rock Cartwright's big. Bernard Scott, who was obviously a hot name last week, Cincinnati with Cedric Benson out. The big question mark there is Larry Johnson. What sort of role does he play? Does he come on in? Now, Fred Jackson's an interesting one to me. They have him ranked third on waivers for running backs this week with Buffalo. I don't think highly of that Buffalo offense at all. I think as long as Marshawn Lynch is there, Fred Jackson, a great start to the season. Don't really buy that too much unless we see some soft defenses that they're playing down the stretch. Now, the number four guy is very intriguing to me, Darren McFadden. I had him, I so overrated him coming into this year. I had him on all three of my fantasy teams. I thought he was going to be not Adrian Peterson, but I thought this was going to be a big leap year for him. Stinks.
Yeah, last 2 years hasn't really done much coming out of Arkansas. One guy that I'm kind of high on is Seattle running back Justin Forsett.
Yeah. Miserable game, though, the other day.
Oh, he had a miserable game, but he was going against Minnesota's, who has one of the best run defenses in the NFL.
Right.
This week he has a much better matchup against St. Louis. It all depends on Julio Jones' health, though. He has a bruised
Julio,
lung.
Huh? You go Julio on him?
No, not it, Julius.
Yeah. Julio, listen, that's fine.
Thinking SEC football here.
Oh, who's Julio? I don't even know who Julio Jones is.
Julio, wide receiver for Alabama.
Oh, okay. Alabama?
Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama's got quite the offensive juggernaut there.
Forsett, he had a miserable day running the ball, but he did have 8 catches out of the backfield for 80 yards against Minnesota. So you got to think that against St. Louis's defense, 28th run D in the league, 146 rushing yards a game they're allowing. You got to think that Forsett, the guy out of California, he's going to have probably a big day against St. Louis. Another guy that I'm kind of high on is Jason Snelling, Atlanta backup running back, filling in for Michael the Burner Turner. And they're going against Tampa Bay at home. And you got to think that Atlanta's really hungry after last week's tough loss to the Giants. So
I'm definitely high on Snelling, and I agree with you. I think Tampa Bay's defense is they have the worst run defense in the league. I think Jason Snelling's an absolutely great play this week. He had a solid first week. I mean, he had 2 touchdowns last week, his first game filling in for Turner. Now, Turner's not on IR. It's I don't think he's going to play this week. But that's an example like, Atlanta should be up big on Tampa, you would have to think, in this game. And they're going to run the ball a lot. I think Jason Snelling's a great play for this week.
Yeah, and in Turner with the high ankle sprain, you never know with those high ankle sprains how long he's going to be out for. So I think Snelling is somebody that if you're trying to make that playoff push to get in to the playoffs in your fantasy league, he's a guy to look for if he's not picked up in one of your leagues.
No question about it. Nick, boy, you know your stuff, Nick. You do your homework.
Well, thank you, D-Lo.
I really think, it's too bad we don't, have a recording of this, and we could you could take this home with you and show your friend. Oh, we do? Is that true? We do? We have a video recording of it? That's unbelievable. What do you know? Well, I think this is really going to be a big part of your highlight reel, your work here at Craft Sports Productions.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Phil.
This is John Hanna, awesome. Patron Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.
There you go. You're not going to mess with Hanna, right?
No, I wouldn't.
If he tells you to download.
No way.
Well, okay, so you're already in the playoffs in one league. Are you eliminated in the other league? Or you
no, I'm actually at 6-5. I am in third place in the ESPN league. 6-5, not great, but it's good enough for third place. So I can't really complain at this point.
Wow.
So.
All right. Well, hey, good luck in those leagues, both of them. Playoffs. Don't choke in the playoffs. That's the best advice I can tell you. Don't choke. I can't say. I mean, you don't have any control over Jay Cutler. He probably will choke at least in one of the playoffs. Let me just see. Chicago, I do have the schedule here. Your playoff week, so weeks 15 and 16, right?
And 16. Yeah. And then in the ESPN league where I'm 6-5, it's 13 and 14 and 15 and 16.
I'll tell you what, man.
They're keeping 17 out of there. I think basically based off that some of these starters might not be starting for their respective teams.
I'll tell you what. Week 15 and 16, you know who Chicago has?
Who?
Baltimore and Minnesota.
Ugh. That's tough. I mean, and I remembered my other league. I actually have Joe Flacco and Carson Palmer as my quarterbacks.
Let me tell you something. You're going to have quite the decision to make in week 15, your first week of the playoffs. Jay Cutler and the Bears are at Baltimore.
That's a tough matchup.
Matt Cassel and the Chiefs host Cleveland.
Ooh, I might have to go
Jay
with Castle.
Cutler carries, well, quote-unquote, carries you through the season. You only use Castle during
Jay
Cutler's
bye week. I pulled Wade Phillips, if you remember, back at the Music City Miracle before that game. He benched Doug Flutie, the starter all year that had gotten him to the playoffs. Plays Brad Johnson instead.
Not Brad, Rob Johnson.
Rob, right? Johnson, Rob Johnson, sorry.
Julio Jones, Brad Johnson, yeah. Whatever.
I try my best.
Well, and then in the next week, Chicago hosts Minnesota on Monday Night Football. You might be going into that week. If you make it through the first week of the playoffs, it all might hinge on that Monday night game.
And this is my
Kansas
good
City,
team.
Right. Kansas City is at Cincinnati, so not a real appealing matchup there. Cincinnati has a pretty strong defense. So I'll tell you what, you've skated this far without or with Jay Cutler. I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I don't know if I have a ton of faith.
Jay Cutler that I'm riding. I'm riding Chris Johnson and Joshua Cribbs.
I understand, but
they are big time.
A
four
interception performance against the Vikings.
It could kill me.
Could kill you. Hey, Nick, thanks for coming in here. This was good. I mean, really. I don't even think we needed the dictionary all that much. I think you were able to hold your own in enunciating and not using a Boston accent.
I tried my best.
You did try your best. Excellent stuff. Good luck to you in the playoffs. Appreciate you coming down here. Go watch the rest. You can go watch the rest of the show on the video cameras that we have, the secret video cameras.
Yeah,
we
I'll
have
go into
here.
Production and
there you
definitely
go.
Watch you.
There you go. All right, Nick, one of our production assistants down in Crash Sports Productions. When you watch Patriots today and you see, you know, me and Christina, you know, looking good, which is, well, rare for me. Anytime we do, a big part of that is because of Nick. So, hey, Nick, appreciate you coming down here.
Thank you very much.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio. Just a couple minutes left, and we may or may not have another guest coming on down here. I don't know, but we do have an email, at least one more email to get to. This is from Jeremy. Actually, you know what, Nick? Hey, why don't you stick around?
We got a few minutes left.
We got this one email. Maybe we can get your insight. This is Jeremy, guy who emails us every single week. Hello, as always, I thank you for your help. I'm 8-3, and I'm in first place in my division by 2 games with 3 games to play. The final 3 games are against my division opponents, so I'm not out of the woods yet. Multi-division league here. Pretty good. Injuries in the Thursday game schedule lead me to my questions for this week. All right, quarterback. I've ridden Matt Schaub all year. Do I bench him versus Indy this week in favor of Matt Hasselbeck at St. Louis? Hasselbeck had 21 fantasy points against St. Louis earlier in the year, and Schaub had 16 points against Indy earlier in the year and has a short week this week. I say you stick with Schaub. Hasselbeck, I've been high on Hasselbeck all year. He's had some really big games, I think specifically at home. Now, very tempting against St. Louis, but I think Schaub is too good, and I think that offense is too good. I understand it's a short week. I think Indy, you know, I'm not going to say they're ripe for the picking, but I think we saw what the Patriots' good offense can do against them. I would hesitate to replace Schaub with Hasselbeck. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I think Hasselbeck, he's kind of been up and down the last couple of years.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
Certainly this year. He's been very up and down.
You don't know what to expect from him. I know it's St. Louis's defense. They're kind of coming around now at the end of the season. But I think you stick with your guns. You stick with Schaub. Indy's pass defense kind of beat up.
And just to give a little bit of context here, CBSSports.com, Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard, guys that we check out every week, on their quarterback rankings, Jamie has Schaub 9th and Hasselbeck 12th, and Dave Richard has Schaub 7th and Hasselbeck 14th. So, you know, they're sort of in the same tier. I just don't think you can sit Schaub. So that's what we think there as far as quarterback, Jeremy. Running back. Very in-depth email here, Nick. We get some good in-depth emails. Running back, pick 2 out of the following 4. Ryan Grant at Detroit. He's been playing better of late, but scored only 10 points against the Lions in their last game. Kevin Smith against Green Bay, so same game there. He may be without Stafford and Calvin Johnson, and thus Green Bay may try to stack the box. Number 3, Jason Snelling versus Tampa. 2 problems arise here. The first is that Jarius Norwood may be back and playing, and the second is that if he is, I can't substitute for him for any of my other 2 backs, since both will have already played the preceding Thursday. Okay, I understand. And then number 4, Jamal Charles at San Diego. So it's Grant, Kevin Smith, Jason Snelling, Jamal Charles. My opinion, pretty clear cut here. It's Ryan Grant at Detroit. It's Jason Snelling against Tampa.
I would agree with that. I think Kevin Smith, you have to stay away from. He hasn't had a great second year. Totaled 149 yards rushing and receiving in last week. Scored a touchdown. But he did this against Cleveland's defense. So I just don't see him doing it against Green Bay. They're a little bit banged up on D. But in his first game against Green Bay this year, 15 carries for 61 yards. That just doesn't cut it out of one of your starting running backs. Green Bay has the number 4 ranked rushing defense in the NFL as well, so I'd stay completely away from that game.
I think the one thing I'd say about Kevin Smith is, granted, if Stafford is hobbled and they don't have Calvin Johnson, it means Green Bay would stack the box. I do think, though, that Kevin Smith might get a ton of touches in this game, rushing and receiving, and his yards per carry average is probably not going to be good, but I think, there could be a little value there, but there's no way I put him ahead of Ryan Grant or Jason Snelling. It's really about the matchups. And Ryan Grant having a good enough year that you're going to start him in most games. Jason Snelling, not so much, but Snelling against Tampa Bay.
And I really like Jamaal Charles as well. I know you know that I'm high on this guy, especially if you count return yards in your league. He had a monster week last week against a good Pittsburgh team, mostly because of his 95-yard kickoff return. He got me like 30-something points in one of my leagues. But he also had a receiving touchdown, and he had about 40 or 50 yards rushing. So.
Yep.
I like Jamaal Charles as well.
Okay, real quick, just going to bang out the rest of this. Wide receiver, I've been going strong with Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, Derek Mason. However, if Calvin Johnson doesn't play, which player do I pick up? Dennis Northcutt versus Green Bay, Mohamed Massaquoi at Cincinnati, Jason Avant versus Washington, Kenny Britt versus Arizona, an overhyped Malcolm Floyd versus Kansas City, or David Anderson versus Indy, who appears to be getting some of the targets that Owen Daniels got before his injury. To me, it's Avant and Britt are, I think, ahead of the pack against the rest of them. Northcutt against Green Bay, no way. I thought he was a good sleeper a couple weeks ago. No way this week. Massaquoi at Cincinnati, decent player. I think he might have a decent future. No way. Those Cleveland guys are going to be overhyped this week. Cincinnati's hungry. No way. Avant against Washington, like it. Again, I mentioned with Philadelphia, you just don't know week to week who's going to be in the mix. I know you don't like McNabb this week. Kenny Britt against Arizona, intriguing. He had his first touchdown the other night. I think that's an intriguing pick. Floyd, I agree, he's been overhyped. Well, the one thing I will say, as I have been saying, he's got Phillip Rivers throwing the ball. He's one of the targets. I do like him. So I'd put him sort of in the mix with Avant and Britt.
I would agree. I mean, Massaquoi, yet again, I mean, he played against the Detroit Lions last week. The Browns play Cincinnati's very good pass defense this week in Week 12. So I just don't see a repeat performance of what he did last week.
Yep.
I just don't see it happening.
Tight end, do I continue to roll with Brent Celek versus Washington? He was shut out versus them earlier in the year and did little last week at Chicago. Or do I add Fred Davis, who ran all over the Eagles in their last game, or Brandon Pettigrew, who has had 3 straight strong games? Don't want to keep beating this drum, but don't like Brett Pettigrew this week. Celek versus Washington. Look, it's so hard to say. Fred Davis against the Eagles. Same thing. I put them in the same category. I think they both could have decent games. I don't really have a strong feeling either way on those two.
Yeah, it's a tough call right there. I mean, these are the decisions that fantasy owners have to make.
This is where we make our money.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I like Celek. I mean, if you had a pick week to week who you'd take over a course of a season, it would definitely be Celek. But because he's going against the number one pass defense, maybe you do go with Fred Davis. I'm not sure, but I think you stick with your guns. Once again, go with Celek.
And finally, as the clock is running out on our show here, defense, do I start the Vikings versus Jay Cutler and the Bears, Baltimore versus an injured Roethlisberger, or Seattle at St. Louis, who is now without Mark Bulger? I just don't see how you can sit Minnesota.
Yeah,
I don't see how you can sit Minnesota's defense. Forte has been shut out by some teams. Cutler's throwing picks. I like Baltimore's defense against Pittsburgh this week, don't get me wrong. I think Seattle is a good one-week matchup pick against St. Louis. It doesn't have Mark Bulger. It's good depth. If you have all 3 of those, good depth.
Yeah.
You can't sit in Minnesota.
No. Minnesota only 169 points allowed this year.
There you go.
36 sacks. So.
Jeremy, thanks for the email right there. This is the Fantasy Lowdown. Our thanks to Nick. You've been a great help. And how about Jeremy getting double dip on advice right here? That's
yep.
a good timing on his email. So, Nick, we thank you. We thank Chris for coming down earlier as well. Again, a little bit of a schedule change this week. Not a live show. We just wrapped up. Sorry if you sent us emails and we didn't get to it, but next week, next Thursday, we're really getting into crunch time of the season here. We'll be back at our normal time, 4 to 5 Eastern. You can download the podcast anytime. This is the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio.